Doppelpick. Hartgecheckt. Der Podcast zu den Star Bulls Rosenheim. Präsentiert von der OVB Sportredaktion.
Servus, liebe Eishockey-Freunde. Herzlich willkommen bei Hartgecheckt, dem Podcast der OVB Sportredaktion zu den Star Bulls Rosenheim. Es ist die 63. Ausgabe, aufgezeichnet am Dienstag, 25. Februar. Und es ist eine ganz besondere Ausgabe. Dazu gleich mehr. Mein Name ist Thomas Neumeier, an meiner Seite Marco Alexic aus der OVB Sportredaktion. Servus Marco.
Hi, servus.
In dieser Ausgabe schauen wir zurück auf die 4 Punkte der Star Bulls vom vergangenen Wochenende, blicken voraus auf das letzte anstehende Wochenende der Hauptrunde in der laufenden DL2-Saison und wir beschäftigen uns mit einem Mann, der seit einem Jahr in Rosenheim ist und die Herzen der Star Bulls-Fans höher schlagen lässt. Und damit sind wir auch bei der Besonderheit von Hart gecheckt. Trommelwirbel, Tusch, Fanfare, was gibt's denn noch? Es ist eine Premiere. Hartgecheckt goes international. Wir wechseln die Sprache. A very warm welcome to our guest, Oscar Autio, the goalie.
Thank you, thanks for having me.
Tervetuloa.
Is it right? Kiitos, yeah. Maybe we do it in Finnish too.
No. Yeah, no. That's the only word I could
read.
We can't speak Finnish, you can't speak Bavarian. So we agree in English?
Yeah, that's a good deal.
Okay. Oscar, it is our tradition that the guest introduces himself in a few words. And yeah, we are listening to you.
Sure. So, servus. I'm Oscar and I'm from Espoo, Finland. Espoo's a pretty big city right outside of Helsinki. So the capital area. And I'm 25 years old. I've been in Germany for over a year now and really like it, really like the culture and absolutely love Rosenheim like a lot of you people know, so I'm really happy to be here.
Oh, nice to hear. We have the podcast divided in 3 periods and the first period is about the last games. We are looking back the 4-5 loss at penalties at Freiburg and the 4-3 win against Kaufbeuren. 4 points at the weekend. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. I think not a perfect weekend from us, but, you know, we kind of keep saying that we find ways to get points and get wins. And I think this was a pretty accurate weekend for that again. Obviously, in Freiburg, not the best start. And I think there was some periods in the Kaufbeuren game, too, where we weren't at our best. But you know, we take a lot of pride in the fact that we find ways to win games, and even when we're not at our best, we figure that out, and so that's kind of been the story of this year a little bit. But obviously now, come playoffs, we want to try and be perfect all the time and play a full 60. So
You said it. You find a way to get the points or get the wins. It's in every situation at the moment. We have the situation on beginning of January when a lot of players are injured or ill, and you always find the ways to get the points. Is it the special character of the team?
Yes, I would say so for sure. I mean, this is honestly a really special group, and we have a lot of guys in there who really, really care about this team. And you can tell, like you said, like we had a lot of guys injured. We've had, you know, young guys in the lineup. We've had guys in and out of the lineup and we still find ways to win games. And it's been pretty impressive. And, even when we go down a goal or two or whatever, there's never any one in the locker room who loses belief in our game or our systems. And, obviously a big credit of that goes to the coaching staff too. And you know, the guys really want to play for each other and win games. And it's been a lot of fun to be a part of.
Yeah, we have to talk about the start against Freiburg. 84 seconds into the game and Star Wars were behind by 2 goals. What happened from the first face off?
Yeah, I mean, we knew they were going to come out really hot. Like, they new coach, and obviously we all knew what the standings were, and it was a must-win game for them. So we knew that it was going to be a tough start. But obviously it still caught us off guard a little bit. And, you know, they made a couple nice plays and scored. And, you know, obviously you never want to start a game off going down a goal or two. Sometimes, unfortunately, it happens. and that was one of those moments. But again, to me, looking back at it, it's obviously we want to make sure that we don't have that happen again. But at the same time, you know, we came back and I think we scored 3 goals and still won the first period. So you need to try and take some positives out of that too. And I think that was once again one of those moments where you go down to nothing. It's really easy to kind of take a step back and, you know, maybe in other groups in the past, I've seen, you know, guys get frustrated and whatever, and we never had that. And so obviously a tough start, but good that we came back in that period.
How did you get with this situation to get not frustrated and calm down and get back to the game?
Yeah, I mean, I trained with an older goalie in the summer who was really good. He's played in KHL and SHL Liga. And
What's his name?
His name's Tomi Karhunen, okay. Finnish goalie, really, really good goalie. And he actually plays for Karpat right now in Liga. And I remember he was telling me a story about how when he signed in the KHL, he went to this new team and in the first game, the first 2 shots went in. And I remember I asked him, like, well, did you get nervous? Like, what happened or what was going on in your head? And I remember he said that, you know, it doesn't matter, like, whether you make 10 saves in a row and then let one in, or maybe you let in 10 goals in a row, you still have to save the next puck. And he was like, I always just think that no matter what happens, the next puck's coming your way anyways. And it doesn't matter what's happened before. And to me, that always kind of stuck with me because hockey's so unpredictable. And, you know, sometimes you make 60 saves in a row and you feel like nothing's going in, and sometimes it goes off a shin pad or whatever, so you can never really look at the numbers. And for me, that's been a pretty big mentality, just no matter what happens, you know, the next puck's the one that's most important. So
there was another comeback. You said it, Star Wars won the first period, but then Freiburg was in the lead again and Ville Järveläinen scored the 4-4 equalizer shortly before the end. How did you see the goal?
I mean, it's a big goal for us. Like, I mean, that goal tied it up and pushed it to overtime and clinched us the playoff spot, right? So that's a huge goal. And obviously, we didn't know it at the time. But I think he's one of those players who has been really, really important to us. And I think he had a little bit of a tough start to the season, but after that, you know, he scores big goals, and he's scored a lot of goals lately too. So that was just one of them that's really important to the team.
It was 90 seconds before the end. You were outside the rink at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
How did you describe your emotions?
I actually didn't even see the goal because I just skated, or there was a play maybe 15 seconds before where I was already halfway to the bench, and then they chipped the puck out, and I actually had to play it right in front of our bench and kind of back off. And then we got at it again and regrouped and got into their zone, and then I kind of skated to the bench. So once I got to the bench, I was just like, what, kind of going through that situation. And I think I was even talking to someone like, hey, was that a good play, or one of the D? And then I remember I heard we scored. So I didn't see it until after, but, you know, big goal, big goal.
Yeah, and then the overtime, everybody thought maybe the Star Wars may do their thing and clinch the second point, but it's not always easy like that, right?
No, for sure not. And I mean, this is such a good league, and no matter who you play, they have really good players, and you know, 3-on-3 overtime, it's kind of one of those things where anything can happen. And I usually like our chances no matter who we go up against, but and I think we were the better team in overtime, but obviously we went to the shootout. So
The shootout, my thoughts were, okay, Oscar made his things, CJ made his things, but what happened then?
Yeah, I mean, I can't control what the players are doing, right? But obviously I try to give our team a chance to win, and I think there was 5 or 6 shooters, and you know, like I said, they have some pretty good players too. So unfortunately, they were able to get one past me. I don't know who the last shooter for us was, but you know, it happens sometimes. And if we're gonna lose one in the shootout, maybe that was the game to do it then.
Yeah. And the Finnish forward made two penalties. Did you know Eero Elu before?
I actually don't know him. I always talk to him when we play Freiburg, and he seems like a really, really nice guy. And I've actually heard from other players that he's a nice guy, but I don't know him at all beforehand.
He's not so nice. He gets two in.
Yeah, except when he plays us, right?
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the home game. 4-3 against Kaufbeuren. You saw it outside from the rink. What do you say about the game?
I think it was a little bit of a weird game in the sense that I think, again, we didn't have the best start, but we were up 2-0. You know, we got away from our system a little bit, and we actually talked beforehand that we were going to try and play a little differently. So in that way, it was a little different of a first period. But again, good hockey game. Kaufbeuren's a good team. We knew that they needed points as well.
Yeah.
And I think it was a pretty even game back and forth. And then obviously a big goal from, I think it was Ludi there in the third. Nice tip. And once again, find a way to get 3 points on a game that wasn't maybe the most pretty. But, you know, big 3 points again.
Yeah. Yeah, the Starwolves had the 2-goal lead very soon in the game, and then struggled. Kaufbeuren could equalize, and it seemed like the momentum changed a little bit throughout the game. Why do you think that was?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's very few hockey games where the momentum doesn't shift back and forth a little bit. I think for us, especially at home, usually we have the momentum. But we came out hot, scored a couple goals, and I think they had that push in them, which they should, because they needed points, right? Like, they need to win that game. So I think that's pretty expected. But, you know, even game and two good teams. And you know, at the end of it, we came out on top. So I think in that sense, we were pretty happy about the result.
When we look at the goals, the first goal and the fourth goal, there was traffic before the Kaufbeuren goalie. I think this was good traffic from Travis one and from Ludi. What is important to get the traffic before some goalies?
Yeah, that's something that I think our coaching staff has emphasized a lot, and we've talked about it quite a bit, where maybe in the beginning of the year we weren't quite as good at it, and we've got so much better at it, and we have some players that are really good at screening, you know, like you said, Travis and Manu was really good too, and obviously other guys too. But I know as a goalie, like, when you can't see the puck, it's tough, right? And some teams are really, really good at, feels like the whole night you're kind of just fighting to see the puck, because there's always someone in front, there's always someone tipping it, and it makes the goalie's life so much harder.
Yeah.
And so I think we've gotten a lot better at that, and we've scored quite a bit of goals lately too because of it.
In your situation, how can your defenders help you to get the screen?
Well, obviously the defensemen need to box out their guys and try and, you know, make it harder for their forwards to get to the net and take sticks away too. But it's hard. Like, it's not easy for the defensemen, and you know, our coaches get on them for that a little bit, and maybe us goalies sometime too. But I think they're doing a pretty good job, and I know they've been working on it a lot.
Yeah, we have to talk about Cody Port. He was in goal in the second game. I think very good performance from him on Sunday. What do you think?
Yeah, for sure. I thought he played well, and especially, you know, that first period, they had a lot of chances and couple D-zone breakdowns from us. And, you know, he made some big saves. And, you know, you never know. Maybe you make a couple big saves in the first or whatever. You never know what's gonna happen in the game, right? Like, again, it was a one-goal game. And, you know, you make those couple big saves early on, it might be the difference maker. So I thought he played really well.
Is it a colleague or an opponent for you?
Colleague. Yeah. I mean, again, kind of going back to what I was saying earlier, like, at the same time, like, I don't need to worry about what he's doing or what someone else is doing. Like, I can only worry about myself and worry about that next puck, right? So whether he plays good or not, it doesn't really affect me. Like, when I'm on the ice, I need to play as well as I can. So
when Cody came to Rosenheim, was it like Jari and Mika talked to you and said, we need a second goalie? Or was it like, here he is, that's Cody?
No, I knew about it beforehand, and I had some conversations with Mika about it, and you know, I think they felt like it was needed, and obviously the first 30-35 games I played quite a bit, and it was a pretty heavy beginning of the season, so I was happy that we got him, and obviously I think it's helped the team too, so that's, at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
You can talk with him about his experiences in Finland. He played also a few games in Liga and then the second tier in Mestis.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we've talked about that, and it's funny because he knows, you know, some goalie coaches and some other goalies that I know too from back home. So we've talked about it a little bit, and you know, he told me a little bit about his experiences in Kazakhstan too, which was kind of interesting to hear about.
Okay, and we must talk about the staff. You said the staff is always important here. It's Jari, native Finnish coaches, and you have Mika here. And I think Mika is a really important coach on your way now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like last year when I came here, obviously, it was, I didn't know much about Germany and about the DL2 or the DL even. And obviously when I came here, it was really easy because I was talking to Jari and, you know, you can speak in Finnish and you right away have maybe a little bit of a different connection than what you would if it was a German coach.
Yeah.
So that was obviously for me really nice. And I actually, before I even signed, I was talking to Jari and he told me that he was going to bring in Mika too. And so that we could have a Finnish goalie coach. And so it was really, really easy. And it made my adjustment coming here in the middle of the season or at the end of the season pretty easy because, you know, we came in at the same time with Mika and we knew, hey, we have a job to do. And at that time it was to keep Rosenheim in the DL too. Yeah. And obviously things started pretty well and I've been really, really happy both with the Jari and Mika, and I think they helped me out a lot. And yeah, that Finnish connection is there for sure.
Yeah. And Mika had so much goalies in his career, but you haven't worked with him before.
No, I had never worked with him before. Yeah. Which is, I mean, he is from a little bit of a different area than I am in Finland. Yeah. So that's partially why, but yeah, I'd never worked with him before. I'd heard of him before, but obviously it was a nice coincidence that we both ended up here.
What is the big one in his working style?
Well, for me right away when I came here, he said that I need to calm my game down, and I was moving a lot when in the past, and for us the big project was just trying to kind of calm it all down and I guess put some pieces together that were there and make it a little bit more of a controlled game.
Yeah.
And I think we have taken some pretty big steps since a year ago in February when I got here.
At the last Hartgecheckt podcast, we had Norman Arner here, and he said he doesn't like the goalies that that be so quiet and doesn't move.
Yeah.
And you learned so much in this way.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, I think every goalie kind of has their own way of playing, and you need to find what works for you. And I don't know, I think simple is beautiful sometimes. And for me, we kind of found that I can move pretty well when I need it, but I also don't need to move too much. So
That was our first period, the look back, and let's get into the second period, and that's the one we get close to you, to your life, and we start with our 60 seconds, that were sentences. I make the beginning, and you can fulfill the sentences.
Okay.
Okay, and go.
My first experience on ice was...
Honestly, I don't even remember.
Okay.
I know I was 5 years old. That's about it.
My idol when I was a child was...
My brothers, my two older brothers.
Okay. My greatest effort in hockey was...
Probably playing for the Finnish national team.
My biggest step did I make when?
You mean hockey or just in life?
Both.
I would say in life when I moved to the US when I was 17 years old. That was a pretty big step.
As I heard from Rosenheim, I thought...
What a cool experience.
When Jari called me Oscar-y, then I think...
Let's let Jari do his thing.
At a long away trip, I...
Talk to Luki Laub and sleep a lot.
Okay. Okay. I have so much questions anymore. Can we get one or two more? My menu at game day is...
Spaghetti bolognese and a side salad.
Okay. Before the game, I always do...
I like to stay away from rituals, but I would say 90% of the time I nap.
In the locker room, I am sitting next to you?
The other goalies and Luki Laub.
Oh, Luki Laub is everywhere. And the first Bavarian word I learned was?
Genau.
Genau.
I don't know if that's Bavarian or just Deutsch, but
it's a Deutsch one.
That's, oh, okay. Actually, no. Margit was telling me, Ferti, like when you say bye.
Okay, Pirti.
Okay. That one she was trying to, but I've been telling everyone that no Bavarian yet. Okay. We're speaking Deutsch first and then Bavarian.
Okay. To the life of Oscar Autio. What is a normal day in the life of Oscar Autio?
I mean, nothing too special. I like to wake up, have a good breakfast, and I walk to the rink, walk to work every morning, and like to get here pretty early. And obviously, team practice and whatever we have, video and workouts and whatever we have that day. And once the workday is done, I like to either go out for lunch with some of the guys or go home and make a nice lunch for myself. And after that, there's not really much that I do. I'm actually currently taking a couple of online classes. I'm finishing up a master's degree from back home. So sometimes I do that if I have the energy for it. And then, you know, at nighttime, mostly just either go out to dinner with one of the guys, or I like to go on walks and call my family back home. And so I really like to do that. I walk around Mangfall, and I would say almost every day I do that. So
you cook for yourself? What's your special?
I like to cook steaks. Yeah. That's, I would say, if I had to cook for someone important, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Maybe a steak and potatoes.
Okay.
But other than that, I do like to make salads too. I make a big salad pretty much with every meal. So I would say that would be my special.
Okay.
Yeah, back to your first experiences on ice. You're from Finland. It's a very big ice hockey nation. How was your childhood?
It was great. I mean, I have two older brothers, and they both played hockey. So I always tell people that the reason I'm a goalie is because, you know, they were playing out in the front yard and they just needed someone in the net. So the youngest one was the one who went into the net. But no, it was great. I mean, our parents were awesome, and obviously they had their hands full with three boys who played hockey. So we spent a lot of time at the rink. You know, a lot of my childhood memories are obviously being in practice myself, but also watching one of their games, and you know, but I loved it, and it was awesome. And I would say I had a really good childhood.
You're going into the goal by yourself, or did the coach sometimes say, oh, this could be a guy?
No, I would say I liked it a lot. And my cousin was a goalie.
Yeah.
And he's quite a bit older than I am. And I remember when he had his pads and his goalie mask, and like the goalie gear was really cool to me when I was younger. Okay. And that was kind of what got me excited, I guess. And I don't know. I think it takes a certain personality to be a goalie, and I feel like maybe that was something that fit me.
You have the personality.
Yeah. I guess so. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but...
Did you try it in the field as a defenseman or offenseman?
I did, yeah. I did, and I liked that too. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I in the beginning, you would kind of switch back and forth, and I think I just kept going back in the net, and I do remember I always liked it, so... Good thing I stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you notice or thought maybe I could be a professional player one day?
I mean, so one of my brothers went to college and he actually played at Penn State as well. He was a defenseman, and I think him and I had very similar career paths. You know, we both played for the Espoo Blues junior system, and it's a very, very good junior system. And but I mean, I didn't really think of professional hockey as much. For me, the goal was always to go to college. That's what he did, and I saw how good the hockey was, and our parents always told us that school is really important, and so they wanted us to do that too if we had a chance. And so for me, professional wasn't really on my mind until I was in college, to be honest. But yeah, obviously I would say when you play for the Finnish national team, and especially when I started getting contacts from college teams and stuff like that, was when I kind of realized that things should maybe be taken a little bit more seriously. And obviously I'm really grateful that it all worked out.
You played at Espoo with some guys who was playing now in the NHL. Do you have contact to them?
Yeah, we actually have a group that skates it together in the summer in Espoo, and we usually have one of our old coaches. There's quite a bit of really, really good hockey coaches that are from Espoo as well, who are coaching all over Europe. And so usually one of them will run skates, and I mean, the level of hockey at those skates are pretty incredible, because we have, you know, NHL guys, top guys from Europe, and it's been really cool because a lot of those guys you've known for a long time, and really good people, and you know, then you see them do great things, you know, somewhere in Europe or in the NHL, and it's cool. It's very cool.
Yeah, when you were with the Finnish junior national team with the under 18s World Championship, you won the silver medal. What are your what do you remember from this time?
Well, it was a really, really cool experience. I didn't play. We had three goalies in that tournament, and we had Lukonen and Lehtinen, and two unbelievable goalies. Obviously, Lukonen is in the NHL right now, and you know, one of the best goalies in Finland, and Lassi Lehtinen was really good back then too. So unfortunately I wasn't playing a whole lot, but it was cool. Like, that was one of those times where you're kind of looking around the locker room, and you know, you're playing with Heiskanen and guys like that, and it's just really cool to see that they're just human beings just like the rest of us, and obviously maybe learn some things from them, but also just kind of realize that, you know, you're a pretty good hockey player too.
This is a dramatic championships. You played 6-5 in the overtime at the quarterfinal against Czechia, 2-1 against Russia in the overtime at half semifinal, and then the loss against USA 2-4 with Brady Tkachuk.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. He was really good in that tournament. And yeah, it was a really, really unbelievable tournament, and we actually, kind of similar to here, like I thought we had a very close group.
Yeah.
In Finland, you start in under 16s, and you're with that same core group of guys until U18s, and actually then World Juniors and U20s too. And we had a really, really cool group and some really good players, but also really good people. And
yeah.
I thought our coach did a really good job of kind of bringing us together, even though you're playing for different clubs in Finland. And in that tournament, like you said, there was a lot of games that could have gone either way, and we made it all the way to the final. And unfortunately, we lost it, Team USA, but it was a very cool experience.
We have to talk about one colleague of this group. Jesse Koskenkova, mm-hmm. He plays for Landshut.
Yeah.
That's not acceptable. At
yeah. No, it was funny because I think he went to Landshut a little bit before I came here last year. And I talked to him when we play them. And I think he really likes it there. But when, especially when we play them, we're not friends for that day. So.
At the under-16 team, you had an assistant coach. It was Sami Nutinen. Did you know that he played for Rosenheim?
No, I actually did not know that.
Yeah.
Yes, I think it's about 1989.
Oh, wow.
Or 1999. He played for Rosenheim.
Yeah, no, I actually did not know that. I remember looking at one point what other Finnish players have played here in the past, and I remember seeing that a guy who used to play for Espoo on the pro team. I think his name's Petri Lammassaari.
Yeah.
I think he used to play in Rosenheim, but I.
Yeah.
But I.
He played in the Oberliga.
Okay. Yeah. I heard that, or I remember seeing that there was Pasi Häkkinen too, a Finnish goalie. But other than that, I did not know that that Nutinen was here too.
Yeah, it was. Till 2000, Rosenheim played mostly in the first league, in the DL, and there was a few Finnish players: Jari Torki, Pekka Tiekonen, Sami Nutinen, two or three more that played for Rosenheim. One goalie, but he played not so much. Pasi Raitanen, and then the next one was Pasi Häkkinen. I think.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yes, let's go to 2017. You changed to the United States and you played at the US Hockey League, Chicago Steel. How was this experience? I think good, because you were in the rookie team, in the All-Star rookie team.
Yeah, it was
this season.
Yeah, it was a good season for me. That was very very professional. And in juniors in Finland, it was, the hockey's really good and so on, but in the USHL, everyone moves away from home to play there. And you could kind of tell, like, I remember when I got there, I thought it was very cool that you have, everyone's super, super dedicated, and everyone's, like, hockey's basically all they have at that moment, right? And the league is really good, and I got very lucky. I had a really, really good goalie coach. His name's Mike Garman. He's actually the head coach for the Chicago Steel right now. And he was a very, very good influence on me. He's one of the most positive human beings I've ever met in my life. And I remember that's probably the biggest takeaway that I got from that season, was just his positive mentality and, you know, kind of showing up with a smile on your face every day is something that I learned from him. And I think that was also a big reason why I had some success that year.
Okay.
And then you went to college, to Penn State. You mentioned it before, the same university your brother went to. Was it part of the decision to go to Penn State, or was it more a coincidence, I would say?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's a complete coincidence. My last year in Finland, I was talking to a handful of schools, and I had some pretty good options, but obviously I'd heard from him that Penn State's a really cool program, and I guess it was, you know, there's a lot of really good schools, but I guess it was a little bit easier to make the decision when you in that way know the coaching staff. And you know the city and you know everything about it just because he had been there. And it's a pretty big commitment when you go to college because you know you're going to be there for 4 years. So I think that was it definitely had an influence on it. But like I said, Penn State's just, it's an unbelievable school. And I was very, very lucky that they gave me the chance to go there.
So have you visited your brother before? So you knew everything, the stadium?
Yes. So I actually visited Penn State his first weekend at Penn State. And I was 14. I was 14 years old at the time. And I actually remember I met the head coach, or my parents and I met the head coach after the game. And he kind of jokingly was like, "Oh, so, you know, in 4 years, like, you'll be playing here too." And funny enough, it actually ended up happening. But I'd seen the games, and I remember that weekend when I was there, I couldn't believe it. Like, the rink, the fans, the campus, like, it was all pretty unreal. And and honestly, after that weekend, I was like, I want to play college hockey too.
You played 4 years at Penn State. One of your team members was Evan Barrett. And now he's one of the top three scorers in the DEL.
Yeah, Barry was really good at Penn State, and he was always one of those guys who you knew is just gonna be very successful no matter where he goes. And he loves hockey. Like, he was one of those guys who would always show up with a smile on his face, and he would just want to get better every day. And you know, so I'm really happy that he's having success. I think, you know, when he left Penn State, we were all pretty devastated. He left a year earlier than he could have. And that was a big loss for us. But, you know, I'm really happy to just see that he's doing well now.
What impact did the time at college have for your life?
Well, I mean, like I said, you spend 4 years there. And what I thought, like, for me at Penn State, our coach and our coaching staff, they were always very, very picky with what kind of people they bring in. And obviously it's a very, very good hockey team, but it's a very, very good group of people. And for me, that was the coolest part about it. It wasn't even the good hockey program. It was the fact that you're surrounded by, you know, 30 really good human beings every day for 4 years. And I think for me, like, it made me a better person, and it kind of made me who I am today, because you're almost forced to be a better person because everyone around you is really smart and, you know, has really good values. So I think for me, that was probably the coolest part about Penn State, was just the people that I was surrounded by for 4 years.
How is that as a player when you enter your senior year at the college? Is it, like, sad that, you know, it's my last year with the team?
For sure. It's very emotional. And at Penn State, we actually have a senior weekend. And when, so you play your last two home games at Penn State. And after the second game, they kind of take down the boards in the home end, and there's a lot of people there, and then the seniors go up on stage and have a speech. And it's pretty emotional. Like I remember when I was writing my speech, I didn't really know what to say even, because so much happens in 4 years, and you learn so much and you get to experience so much. And especially there, like, you're treated so well, and almost every single guy always says, like, "I don't want to leave," right? Because you're so grateful to be there. So it's very emotional, for sure.
It's a special time. You getting to the college as a young guy and living as a man.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what happens to, I think, almost everyone. You come in as an 18-year-old, and, you know, you're just happy to be there, kind of. And yeah, and you have
fun.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're in college and you're playing for a really cool hockey team and whatnot, and then at the end of it, you kind of realize, like, well, I'm jumping into the real world, but also I'm ready for the real world, right? Because of those 4 years.
But it's not only fun and only play hockey. You were majoring in business psychology.
Yeah.
Is it right?
Yep. So I got an undergrad degree in business psychology, and you know, like I said earlier, like my parents were always really thought education is really important, and to be completely honest, when I went into college, I wasn't really of that same opinion yet, but especially throughout my time there, like, again, everyone on the team is, they're not there for hockey. They're obviously great hockey players, but they're there because they want a good education too. And, like our coach was really, really, he wants you to have good grades. He wants you to go to class. He wants you, like, it's cool to be a good student.
Yeah.
And that was something I'd never seen before. And maybe not very stereotypical for hockey players, right?
Mm.
And so you get sucked into this group of guys where everyone's putting in the work, you know, in the classroom. And
yeah.
And so it was really cool. And I'm really grateful that I got that degree too.
Do I get it right? You get there to play hockey and come back as a graduated student.
Depends. Yeah. Again, like I know in the US, like some college hockey programs care about the academics and some don't as much. I would say Penn State is for sure one of them that does care about education and academics, and that's because of the head coach, Guy Gadowski. He's very hard on the players about that. Mm. And again, like I think it was one of the coolest things ever to just see how these unbelievable hockey players, unbelievable athletes can still, you know, do an engineering major at the same time. And we would work really hard, we would win hockey games, we would travel, and then still guys are putting in a lot of hours in the study room or whatever. So it was a very cool environment for sure.
Then you went for another season to the University of Vermont. What was the reason for the change? Another degree?
That, and also, so when COVID happened, that season didn't count. Mm. So normally you only have 4 seasons time to play college hockey and then you have to leave. But because I was there during the pandemic, I had an extra year. And so I was pretty young. I was only 22 when I graduated from Penn State. And I don't know, like I felt like if I could do another year of college, then I probably should. That was mostly for hockey. I wanted to get some more games in before I turned pro, and Penn State was an option for sure, but I also thought it would be kind of cool to see something else.
Mm.
And I actually talked to Todd Woodcroft, who's, you know, now the head coach for Castle, and yeah, he convinced me to come to Vermont, and he was the biggest reason why I went there. You know, right away, I really liked Woody, and he is a really good coach. He's a really good human being too. And what I told him was I want a year to make me ready for professional hockey.
Yeah.
And he promised me that that's what I would get. And that is what I got. You know, he made me ready for the real world, so to speak, and what professional hockey kind of gives you. And so I thought it was a good experience for me to go there for that year.
What is the difference between university hockey and the real world hockey?
Well, you play a lot more games in pro, yeah, for sure. That's one. But I mean, college hockey is, again, you're there for 4 years in most cases, and everyone's the same age. You have school. You know, it's much more than just hockey, right? It's a whole community. It's your life. But then, obviously, once you go to professional hockey, it's your job, right? And even though it's the same game, it's the same, you know, the daily life is pretty much the same. But, mm. You know, there's definitely a difference when it's your job and when you're a college kid with, you know, 20 of your best friends playing.
Your first pro games you made at the ECHL, how was that experience for you?
It was pretty exotic, I would say. I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, and I just wanted, our season ended pretty early in Vermont, and again, Woody at the time was pushing our our seniors to go and finish the season in the ECHL or the AHL, just to get some pro experience in. And I ended up doing that, only played a couple of games, but yeah, I mean, that was, the ECHL is a hard league. It's there's a lot of really good players and nothing's really guaranteed. You know, you can get signed any day, you can get released any day, and it's a tough environment. So that was for sure pretty eye-opening for me, even though I was only there for a couple of weeks.
And then the way goes back to Finland for you. You get a contract at TPS, a really famous hockey club in the hockey world. What does that mean to you?
It was special. I mean, I didn't really, I was obviously still in the US and I didn't really even think about coming to Europe at the time. Like, my goal was to play in the US, but then when that opportunity came, I couldn't say no, because it was, like you said, TPS is such a really, really good organization and an old club in Finland. And, you know, when you get a chance like that, you take it. And you know, I got a little bit lucky, because at the time there wasn't a lot of goalies on the market, and I was available. So, you know, it was very, very cool.
At Turku and Kuku, you played some games, and then there came the call from Rosenheim. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd actually signed with Koko for the rest of the season, and my plan was to be there for the rest of the season. And our starting goalie was supposed to have knee surgery, and then I signed there, and then he actually ended up not doing the surgery, and so he came back probably 2 months earlier than everyone thought. And then I was at a situation where we had three goalies signed, and even though I had played pretty well, I knew that I wasn't going to play a lot. And and then we started looking at some other options, and you know, Rosenheim called, and what I heard was, it's a really cool city. It's a really cool place to play, and but they're struggling a little bit right now. And you know, obviously I talked to Jari, and he was saying that the number one goal is to stay in the league, and so it was a cool challenge. It was a very cool challenge, and at the end of it, it was a pretty easy decision to come here.
You didn't know something about Rosenheim or German hockey, the Star Wars?
I knew a little bit, but honestly, no. Like, I did not know what the Star Wars was, or Rosenheim. Like, I was kind of just coming into the dark, so to speak. Yeah. Like, I didn't really know, but and at the time, I obviously just signed for the rest of the season. So I remember kind of thinking to myself, like, what's the worst thing that could happen, right? Like, it's only for a couple of months. And I was actually telling someone the other day that I talked to my mom pretty soon after I'd got here, and she was like asking me what I think and how everything's going. And I remember I told her, like, you know, this seems like a place where you would want to stay for a longer time. And I remember she was kind of surprised that I said that, because I had played for three different teams that year. And
yeah.
But you know, it was a special place, and you know, I loved everything about it when I came here. So
a little bit a love at first sight.
Yeah. I guess you would say so. And I mean, everyone's treated me so well since I got here, and you know, it is a special place. It really is. Like, the rink, the fans, the city, like, everything about it is really cool, and I noticed that very, very quickly last year.
Do you remember your first game for Rosenheim?
I do for sure. I do. Yeah, that was a very special night, obviously not because of me, you know. Yeah. But it was a very, very memorable game, and you know, something that I'll never forget for sure.
I think the crowd was amazing, and especially you get them with one game.
Yeah. I mean, I know I've told you this story before, yeah. But like I knew that Rosenheim had really good fans, and I knew that it was a loud building to play in. But I came to the rink, and right before the game, I was talking to Luki Laub, and he told me, like, hey, listen, today's going to be a very loud atmosphere, and it's going to be a sold-out game. And obviously, I didn't really know what was going on and what had happened. Like, I had just come to Rosenheim a couple of days prior, but, you know, obviously that was the Mike Glimzer game, and yeah. And that was obviously one of those nights, too, where it's not even about hockey. It's about something a lot bigger than that. And to see the whole Rosenheim community, you know, support him and obviously also the team was just really, really cool.
But it's also a shutout game for you.
Yeah, and that too. Obviously, we played Regensburg, and they were the best team in the league. And I think we won 1-0. So probably not the most entertaining game for the fans, but yeah, it was a pretty good way to come in.
Now, 1 year later, you extended your contract until 2027. Did you have to think long about the decision?
No, not really. I pretty early this year, I talked to management here, and I told them that if they're interested in signing me for a longer time, I would want to do that. And obviously, you know, I've said it a million times, like, I really like it here. And so for me, it was a very easy decision once it all came down to it. And you know, I was really, really happy that I was able to sign the extension.
I think the fans loved it when you say it a million times more.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have said you love the place. This is a place to be a little time longer. You are doing it now. Which place do you love most, Rosenheim? You said at the Mangfall walking. Where can we find Oscar out here in Rosenheim?
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously the easiest answer would be to say the rink, but yeah. I don't really want to say that. Like, everyone knows that the fans here are unbelievable, and that rink's really nice, and, you know, I love our group and all that, so that's an easy answer. But I guess Rosenheim itself, you know, I would say I like the river. I like the fact that you can see the mountains.
Yeah.
I've never played lived in an area where you can see the mountains like that. So to me, when I walk to the rink in the morning, or, you know, drive around and you can see the mountains and, you know, see the river and all that, like, that's really what I think is the coolest part about Rosenheim.
Everyone loves the mountains, Shane Hanna and so on.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, thank you, Oscar, for this private impressions. And let's get back to work and to the third period. We are looking now forward to the next games. On Friday at Weißwasser, on a Sunday home game against Krefeld. And I have to say it, at OVB newspaper and all the OVB channels, you can read everything about the games. And we want to know, will Starbulls reach the fourth place?
We'll sure try. You know, we're obviously in a really good spot right now, but we got two more games, and we're going to try and get 6 points this weekend. You know, that's our goal. And obviously, we're looking ahead a little bit into playoffs, too. But Friday night is Weißwasser, and that's our next goal.
Krefeld could also be the opponent in the playoffs you're playing then on Sunday at home. What do you think about them?
They're a good team, for sure. I mean, we've actually played pretty well against them this year. But they're a really good team. They're a really deep team. They have four good lines, and I think Bick is a really good goalie, too. And so it's a big challenge. I think we can beat any team in this league. We know that. I think we have beat pretty much every team in this league. But obviously, we also know that whoever we face in the first round is going to be a very good team as well, and it's going to be a really big challenge. So, you know, whether that's Krefeld or someone else, we'll take it pretty serious, that's for sure.
Do you agree when I say nobody wants to play Rosenheim in the first round?
For sure. I don't think anyone likes to play us, and I actually know just from talking to other players too that, especially here at Trofa Stadium, the other teams do not want to come here and play us. Yeah. So I think that's a pretty big compliment to our group.
How important would it be to reach the fourth place?
Obviously, you get home ice and whatnot, so it helps, but I don't think it's something that we're super concerned about. Whether we start on the road or start here, well, you're gonna have to win four games anyways, right? And so it would be nice to play more home games, especially because we have probably the best home record in the league. But if it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen, and then we'll find a way to get a couple more wins on the road.
On Friday at Weißwasser, they have Anthony Morone, really good goalie also. Sunday you said Felix Bick with Krefeld. What do you think about the whole goalies in the DL2?
I think every team has a good goalie, and that's been honestly something that since I got here, what surprised me a little bit, just how good the goalies are, and you never play a team and think, oh, they have a bad goalie. Like, every team has a good goalie, and so yeah, it's not easy to be a good goalie in this league because the level is so high. And if you look at the goalies in this league, a lot of them have pretty good numbers, and rightfully so, because they are really good. So
yeah, there are good goalies in the league, but you are the one with the best saving percentage. How important are those statistics for you?
Of course, it's like, I think you're lying if you're saying you don't care about stats. Like, everyone cares about stats, but I honestly don't pay attention to that because it doesn't really matter. This year, like, I kind of took the approach of, as long as we're winning games, as long as the team's doing good, like, I know that the numbers are going to be there, the stats are going to be there, and I don't need to be looking at my save percentage or goals against average after every single game, because I know it's going to be there. And our team plays really good defense and allows me to have that. So I most of it I hear from either the guys in the room or from opening Twitter or whatever. Like, then that's when you kind of see it, so I know obviously where it's at, but I really do try to not go out of my way to look at stats.
Yari said you will play one game at the weekend, and Cody will do one. Do you want the long away journey? I think maybe Yari could hear us at the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
you can give him information.
Yeah. It's obviously I want to play at home because I want to play every game at home. Everyone wants to play at home. That's just the reality of it. But I don't mind playing on the road either. I think it's cool to play in other buildings, and it's fun to be on the bus with the guys. And so to me, it really doesn't matter where we play. But of course, I want to play every home game.
Is it fun? Manu Strudel said one time at Hartgecheckt, it smells like a zoo when the guys came out of the bus.
Yeah, it gets pretty intimate on the bus, I guess. You have 30 people on a bus for 10 hours or whatever. Like, it's you got to get used to that. But like I said, I sit next to Luki Lauben. We have a pretty good connection there. So
Norman said he has always the window open.
Yeah, so right above me and Luki is the window, and he's actually the window guy, so he'll take care of the fresh air for us. Even during the winter, he would crack that thing open and let in some fresh air. So where me and him are sitting, I would say the air quality is at its best on the bus.
Good climate at the place of Luki Lauben.
Yeah, exactly.
Last question. You said it, but we want to hear it one more. What does it make so special for you to play for, in front of the home fans?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things about it, and but of course, like you skate out into on ice warmups, and you can already see how full the arena is getting, and you know, you can tell how much the team means to the fans and to this community, and that's really special, and I think that's what makes it so fun for us too, because it honestly doesn't matter who we play, what day of the week it is, what time it is, you know that it's going to be loud. We're going to have amazing support from the fans. We know that the team who we're playing against hates coming here. And you know, to me, it's like that's such a big advantage for us, and it's so fun. Like, it really is. It's fun for us to play here because of all those things, and so yeah, there's a lot of things that makes it special, and I know I'm not the only one who feels very grateful to get to play here in front of those fans.
Nice to hear. Oscar, we have one surprise for our listeners. We got a few fan sets that we give away to them, and may I ask you that you can sign the scarves?
Absolutely.
Okay, we can do it, and then we give it away to our listeners, and yeah, that's the end of number 63 of Hard Gecheckt. Thank you, Oscar Audio. I hope it was fun for you.
It sure was. Thanks for having me.
Okay, it was fun for us. Good luck for the next games. Thank you for having you here with us. And now I change into German.
Okay, perfect. Dankeschön.
Euch vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Wir freuen uns aufs Feedback oder Rückmeldungen. Wenn wir German, dann sagen wir Rückmeldungen. Bis zum nächsten Mal bei Hart gecheckt oder live im Stadion. Servus.
Ciao.
Or we can say für dich.
Ja, yeah. I'll stick to ciao.
Das war die neue Folge von Hart gecheckt, dem OVB-Podcast zu den Star Bulls Rosenheim. Alle Episoden gibt es bei Spotify, Apple Podcasts und allen gängigen Podcast-Anbietern. Live-Ticker, Analysen und spannende Hintergründe findet ihr auf unseren Seiten. Danke fürs Zuhören und bis zur nächsten Ausgabe von Hart gecheckt.